Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the same old thing of free speech. It's the same old thing. I'm always asking. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed funds, because it's the same old thing. We still need it, okay? And today we have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here, living here. Here in sunny Great Britain, where we have a new Prime Minister.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Did you ever see... I know you're familiar with Rowan Atkinson's Blackadder, right?
Who in Britain isn't?
How about Rowan Atkinson's The Thin Blue Line?
I think I've seen some of that, but it's not... It wasn't to me what Blackadder was. Blackadder was one of my favourite comedies. It's, I think Blackadder to me is sort of quintessential British humour, whereas The Thin Blue Line, if it's got Rowan Atkinson in it, probably going to be very, very funny, but it's not one. I'm aware of it, and I've probably watched, you know, the odd episode, or will have done, or been in a, you know, flick through and seen it, but I don't think I've actually invested any real time into that one.
All right, can you pitch the cast?
So I can Google the cast.
Google the cast now, okay? Do me a favor, because I've tried this with Andy Hitchcock. I tried it with Paul Stevenson and with Euro, and nobody.
I do remember it. Yes, I do. I actually have watched this.
All right, and so. There's the desk sergeant who is his living girlfriend. You can see. Is that Liz Truss?
That does look just like Liz Truss. Yeah, and I have actually seen it. I remember there was an Asian officer. There was one who was blatantly gay.
Blatantly gay officer actually has a thing for the Pakistani girl, and he can't understand why everybody thinks he's gay.
But yeah, so he was really, really camp, but fancied the Pakistanians. I do remember, I have seen this, it is all coming back to me. And the woman is called Serena Evans. And yeah, she is, she does look a lot like Liz Truss. You're correct.
Okay.
And yeah, this is all a waste of time, because this is going to be lost on everyone, Patrick.
I have been multiple times trying to make a particular joke. There was one episode where Serena Evans was Rowan Atkinson's living girlfriend, but Rowan Atkinson, he wanted to read a bit in the evening and fall asleep. And once she was in his office and she was complaining about this and complaining about that, and every now and then, maybe a damn good Rogering.
Sometimes I imagine myself doing something splendidly heroic to make you proud of me. Proud and happy.
You could make me proud and happy, Raymond, by going to the bank when I asked you and occasionally giving me a damn good Rogering.
Oh, dear.
Ah. Constable Gladstone, Sergeant Dawkins and I were just discussing... that fellow Ring. Roger Ring. And we were just saying, well, how damn good he is, basically. Damn good Roger Ring. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Yes, that's right, dear. But we see so little of him these days, don't we?
That's what she was asking for. But, okay, so nobody got the joke. I've been trying to make this joke over and over again, and nobody gets it because nobody knows this sitcom. And yet, every time I look at Liz Truss, I just keep thinking about her saying to Blackadder she needs a damn good Rogering. And I can say that on RBN because Roger is not doesn't have any particular meaning in America, even though people can figure it out. And so my question is, Liz Truss, is that all she needs is a damn good Rogering?
They may indeed be able to figure it out, but I'll tell you this. I certainly wouldn't want to be the person who was tasked with giving Liz Truss any kind of, Rogering. she's quite,
damn good otherwise. Damn good or otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, she's quite hideous.
No, but I mean, but the thing is, so she's 47, I mean, nobody would have brought this up with Theresa May or Margaret Thatcher. But
you know what, I find this situation with Liz Truss quite interesting, because what did you actually have here when it comes to choice, or what did the Conservative membership have as a choice? Well, on one hand, you had Rishi Sunak. Rishi Sunak, a billionaire, Indian, dual citizen, very contemptuous of normal working people. The guy who stabbed Boris Johnson in the back.
Contemptuous of normal working people.
Yeah, very, very contemptuous of them. You know, totally out of touch, you know, super, super rich, has nothing in common with normal people. And that was not a good pick. Then on the other hand, you have Liz Truss. Now, Liz Truss is quite a strange-looking, liberal female, used to be a member of the Liberal Democrats. I've never seen her give a decent or honest interview. I've never seen her answer a question in a straightforward manner. But it made it very, very difficult sort of question for people who were voting on this. She, you know, I don't think she's a conservative. I don't think she is somebody who is really suitable for, you know, the Conservative Party. I don't think she's somebody who would hold the same opinions as the rank and file Conservatives. But I do think she did a very good job of dressing herself up like Margaret Thatcher and appealing to a certain, well, we can take things back to the 80s, you know, low taxes, small government kind of conservatism, a conservatism which probably doesn't talk about values.
Yeah, a conservatism that can solve the problems of the 1980s.
Yeah, but without talking about values. And that's the important thing, because conservatives have talked less and less about values. So they won't talk about traditionalism, they won't talk about culture, they won't talk about the kind of nation they want. But if they just go back to that safe space of low taxes, small government, everything will be better. Low taxes, small government, and that's going to empower the normal people. And I look, really, at that, and I don't actually think it holds any weight. I don't think it holds any weight, and I'm not even sure if it's something that a government could actually deliver on now. And the reason I don't think the government could deliver on it is not because I think the government has... not because I think the government is in a position where they necessarily don't want to deliver on some of those things, but the Conservative government has actually built an infrastructure within our society, or structured our society in such a way to ensure it could never be a low-tax, low-intervention government. You know, Conservatives have fought for things such as more surveillance. They have fought for this universal basic income. They have fought to extend both the powers of the state and grow the social benefit system to a point where if you actually said the Conservative government want low taxes, well, that couldn't really happen, because if you're going for a low tax society, that can only be achieved when the vast, vast majority of people are in work and the benefit system is a safety net for the people who fall on hard times. As soon as the benefit system becomes a hammock that people just lie in order to not go to work and to escape the duties which every human being has had to take on since almost the dawn of time, you know, if that becomes the case, all of a sudden you end up in a situation where you can't actually pedal backwards. So certain things are done, and I think a lot of it's been done by, obviously Labour did some of it, but the Conservatives also did some of it. But when these things happen, you can't actually undo them. It becomes very hard to unpick the damage that is done. And I think fundamentally we're in that point now. And if the Conservatives decided that, hey, we want to genuinely have a go at unpicking what has happened, I'm not sure how they could even start. And the dream of this low tax, small government nation, well, how would that be achieved? Well, I'm going to tell you quite clearly how it would have to be achieved. It would have to be achieved by extensive foreign borrowing, because there's no other way to fund it. You know, if you're having a low intervention, low tax society, that low intervention, low tax society is only possible because the nation itself is productive, because you have high levels of employment, small levels of benefit claimant, you have a high trust society, so people can just get on with things without the government having to intervene. But now you've got not only the huger claimant number, but you've also got this gigantic nanny state that controls people's lives. You've got the anarcho-tyranny, which has been built off the back of uncontrolled mass immigration, which has led to this incredible crime rate. How do you unpick that and say, right, we're going back to the early 80s, guys. We're going back to the early 80s of high employment and we can trust everyone. You can't. You can't do that. And you can't go back to that time, so you can't go back to policies that were suited for that time. And if you try, well, you're going to get into more of a mess. And I would love to see how she's going to fund all of these tax cuts. Because fundamentally, there's one thing the Conservatives won't do. If they're cutting tax for normal people, they're not going to do the sensible thing. They're not going to tax the fat cats. They're not going to tax the social media giants. They're not going to tax companies like Facebook that are making billions. They simply won't do that. They have no intention of doing that. So the only way to do it is to delve even deeper into the mire of foreign debt.
Well, yeah, and you know, honestly, that could happen. You look at the United States, which probably has more ability to just print money with no consequences than other countries. And yet, of course, it went into massive foreign debt, and it's indebted to a lot of countries. For a while, it was being very much indebted to Russia, but China in particular. Here's one thing. So Liz Truss, she's been very aggressive and with regards to the war against Russia. Both the military war, the economic war, and Boris Johnson, and even though it's been known for a while, Alexander Mirkolis has been talking for a while about Boris Johnson having personally been involved in scuttling the peace talks that were in early stages in Ankara between representatives of Ukraine and Russia. Back, I guess, in late March, they were having talks, and he went to see his buddy Zelensky and say, "No, you've got to go for it all. Go for victory."
But more than that, he put huge public pressure on him and released public statements saying words to that, you know, like that, they're saying, you know, you cannot back down. You have to go to victory. It's victory or nothing. It's all or bust. You know, that kind of rhetoric when you're going up against really a force that, you know, the Russians have rarely been beaten in warfare. And when they have been beaten in warfare, they always have a canny knack of turning things around and reversing those losses. It would be a very, very very, very, you know, unfortunate advice to offer, but huge pressure when you say things like that publicly. I mean, in the position Boris Johnson is,
right, and his foreign who's foreign secretary has been Liz Truss, and now she's going to be the prime minister. And if you're Vladimir Putin and you're looking out at your opponents, your enemies, frankly, in this, and this is more than just war going on the battlefields of Ukraine. This is a massive economic assault on Russia. And you look and you see Finland and Sweden, which were neutral countries, but now they're joining the anti-Russian military bloc, and they're led by these two women. And then Germany, which is the biggest country in Europe, and okay, it's got Olaf Scholz, but the very, very aggressive foreign minister, Annalena Ballerina Baerbock, who's saying that the hell with what German voters think, we're going to keep our commitment to Ukraine. Now you've got Liz Truss coming on, who's been extremely hostile. So you got all these women who are like super hostile, and not very serious. I don't know. What does that look like if you are the Russian leadership and you're looking at all of these, frankly, hysterical women who are completely unrealistic but aren't backing down? What does that even look like?
Well, I think these women look insane. I think they look absolutely insane. And I always find it very, very enraging, to say the least, when you hear these people saying, to hell what the voters think, we have to do this. And this tells you what a mess parliamentary democracy is, that, you know, elected officials will happily say, you know, to hell with what the voters think, we're doing X instead. Now, you know, that, I feel, is the greatest indictment of, you know, the failure of parliamentary democracy that you could have. The fact that you can actually say, as an elected official, to hell with what those who elected me actually believe. You know, we are doing the opposite no matter what. And I think that is not something that's unfortunate. That's not something that's like an isolated opinion. You wouldn't say that was something that was a one-off, or that was something that, you know, only a few people within the system actually believed. I think this is something that many people within the system believe. They believe that they can do as they wish, when they wish, and how they wish. And if the voters disagree with them, well, you know, to hell with the consequences. And they know that they'll still get voted in because the media will back them. And we live in this horrible two-party state. In most countries, we live in this two-party state that forces people into this horrible, you know, political dichotomy where they are always going to vote for, you know, bad or worse, where they're the two options, is bad or worse. And kind of this takes us back to Liz Truss, really, doesn't it? Bad or worse. Well, that was the Rishi Sunak situation. It was bad or worse. I don't think anyone would have been excited over either of those people. And I think we touched on this before, where I actually said to you, people seemed genuinely excited over, you know, Boris Johnson. People actually did seem excited over Boris Johnson being, you know, elected. They were happy about this. They wanted this. People thought it was going to be this great breath of fresh air, and that Boris was going to usher in a new age of parliamentarians and elected leaders listening to their people. Now, obviously, we know that that, unfortunately, hasn't happened. But at the same time, that is what people thought. But Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, I don't think either of them were particularly popular. And it did seem strange, you know, throughout the election campaign between the two of them, that most of, you know, the actual coverage seemed to be based around which is the lesser of two evils. And I think the Daily Mail seemed to be covered. The Daily Mail is probably a sort of premier conservative paper. And the Daily Mail seem to be covering it from exactly that angle. You know, vote Liz Truss because it's the lesser of two evils. And no one should really be presented with such an option, should they? No one should actually be presented with such a terrible option that, you know, you're looking for your next national leader, but your next national leader is going to either be bad or worse. Which do you want?
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
National leader is going to either be bad or worse. Which do you want? Because that's not a good position to be in. But none of this is a good position to be in. And come winter, it's going to be a worse position. Mm-hmm. Because I think Liz Truss will push forward with anti-Russian rhetoric. I think there will be a very, very dark and cold few winter months. And I think those dark and cold winter months will hit people very hard in this country. I think the excess winter deaths this year will be huge. And obviously my concern as somebody who's a truth seeker is how they are going to write this off, how they're going to say, well, actually, you know, excess winter deaths this year weren't that bad, or how are they going to explain them away? Well, I think we know how they're going to explain them away. I think excess winter deaths will most likely be explained with COVID. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, come winter, we were all told, well, this has been the worst COVID season we've had yet. Lots of people are dying. Whereas, in fact, they have actually died not from COVID, but in fact from not being able to heat their homes, or, you know, having to make that difficult decision between heating and eating.
Yeah. So I saw a poll, and I don't remember the numbers from it, but there is extremely little enthusiasm about Liz Truss. I think the question is, are you satisfied? And very few people were satisfied with the results. And so she's coming in, A, with very low satisfaction. And of course, you're facing this winter. We're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, because the energy from Russia is already not flowing. It's just that this is not peak demand for gas season. But it seems that, like, you know, every year when you get close to the end of the year, for some strange reason, there's a big demand in gas for heating homes. I don't know why, but it just seems to be. And it's likely that this is going to happen, but it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And the gas isn't going to be there. The war, even by that point, the war, Ukraine, it's just a matter of time before it completely collapses, because there's the military. I mean, it had a big military, but the military is being annihilated and their weapons are being depleted. And even the recent, pledges of weaponry from the United States, these aren't shipments that are going to happen in real time. The latest package is, we are going to commission weapons manufacturers to manufacture new weapons. Well, those aren't going to be in the pipeline for a couple of years. So it's not going to do anything in terms of this war. Actually, it's really just replenishing the depleted stocks. So for somebody to come in with no popularity and facing these types of challenges for which she clearly has no viable response. And Britain's hardly unique in this. It seems that, there's going to be political crises in country after country in the West. We're going to have it in the United States. We've got a president who is completely out of touch. I don't know if you caught any of his Independence Hall speech. Where he's declaring Trump and MAGA Republicans to be a threat to democracy and semi-fascist.
Is that the one where he made a sort of veiled threat saying those who think you can use your guns to protect yourself against the state are going to be very disappointed when they realize they're going up against F-15s?
I'm not sure if he said that in the Independence Hall speech, but he's certainly said that last week. I mean, they're having him out on the campaign trail. There are a lot of, you know, the midterm elections are coming up, and he's been out on the campaign trail, making little appearances here and there around the country. And you know, the thing is, I went to a little counter protest not too long ago, and you know, there's a small number of Trump people, and on the one hand, you know, we're out there on a street corner, and cars are going by, and they see the Trump flags, and there's a great deal of enthusiasm for Trump. But on the other hand, the Trump activists are really, you know, they know something's wrong, but they really can't put their finger on it. And there was some discussion. And somebody had said something about how far the Democrats have gone. And I made the point that, yeah, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you would never have heard a Democrat say the types of things they're saying now. And even, I mean, Joe Biden, go back and watch Joe Biden's speeches from 30 or 40 years ago. And, I mean, no Democrat would say the things now that he was saying 30 or 40 years ago. You know, and somebody said, yeah, he was talking about he didn't want his kids to go to school with blacks. Wow, you know, and they were focusing on this, like, oh, well, Joe Biden was such a horrible racist 30 or 40 years ago. I was like, no, Joe Biden was in touch with people 30 or 40 years ago. You know, it isn't a horrible thing that he was talking about black crime 30 or 40 years ago. It was happening then, and it's happening now. But, you know, The problem, you were mentioning values before. The problem is the
ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Talking about black crime 30 or 40 years ago, it was happening then and it's happening now. But you know, the problem you were mentioning values before. The problem is like everybody, even the so-called conservatives in America, have completely adopted these values of anti-racism. And
well, they probably think they're clever, Patrick. I mean, I've noticed this in the UK as well. You will have people who try to outdo the system, so to speak, with the system's own madness. So there's a guy, and look, people know who I'm talking about, but I don't want any massive drama, so I'm not going to mention his name. But he turns up at the drag queen story hour demonstrations wearing a skirt or wearing a dress and wearing makeup, because he thinks that if he's super clever and turns up at a drag queen anti-drag queen story hour protest, sort of dressed as a drag queen himself, he's outdoing the system. You know, he's outfoxing them. What will they say? They can't call him a homophobe if he's wearing a dress. Ha ha! Game, set and match. And it's so tiresome. It's so pointless. You know, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, turning up there dressed in a dress and acting like that isn't a show of strength. It's a show of weakness. It's a show that you are desperately trying to please the system that hates you. It's a show of cowardice, really. But that's what happens. And I remember there was a point, whether it was in the, I don't think it was in the 2016 Trump campaign, but it was, I think it was in the 2020. You might be able to correct me on it if I'm wrong. But during that campaign, there was a massive, massive push by the MAGApedes to essentially flip the narrative that the Democrats were peddling, that the Democrats were the real racists. And the Democrats were saying, oh, you know, Trump's a racist, he's dog whistling, he's playing to the, he's playing to, you know, racist, racist prejudices that, you know, white Americans have, and that's how he's going to get in. He's going to get in because, you know, white Americans will vote for Trump because they're all secretly still prejudiced. And that's what he was, you know, that's what they were saying. And they were saying that, you know, he was a racist. And the response from the response from the sort of the system, so to speak, not the system, sorry, the response to that from the system was calling Trump racist, but Trump's supporters' response to those calls was to say, no, 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 the Democrats are the real racists, rather than just saying, hey, we don't acknowledge this. We don't acknowledge this at all. This is a nonsense. Using terms such as racist are is ridiculous. These are terms invented to silence us. We're not going to be silenced. We're not giving up. We're going to carry on doing what we're doing, and let's talk about the issue at hand. So rather than just sidestepping it and saying, let's talk about the issue at hand, the Trump supporters spend all their time then trying to prove that the Biden supporters or the Democrats were the real racists. And the problem with this is that as soon as you do that, you are then falling into the trap. And the trap is that you've admitted that the greatest problem is racism. And then it's just a battle to, then it's just a battle to see who is the most racist. And that battle is very difficult to win if you're a Trump supporter. You know, if you're a Trump supporter, you know, that's not going to be the battleground for you. That's your enemy's battleground. But the point is, once you're fighting on your enemy's battleground, it then becomes very unlikely that you can ever win. It becomes very unlikely that you're going to experience a victory. Because really, what the Trump supporters and Trump himself should have been focusing on was what would have was bringing the debate or the argument back to issues that they were strong on. So the argument should be, we're not even acknowledging this. The point is, this many migrants crossed the border in every year. This many crimes were committed by migrants. This is how much environmental damage comes from building new houses for migrants. This is how much it costs the economy. This is the crime. This is the people trafficking. This is the drugs. These are all the issues brought here to, you know, America by this swamping mass of migrants. We need to close the border. We need to build the wall. And by staying on target in that way, you essentially do far, far better than fighting on your opponent's grounds. But this is one of the big issues that nationalists have always faced. Nationalists have always faced this, or patriots have always faced this problem, that we are so quickly dragged into hostile battlegrounds that we never end up fighting on our own turf. We never end up debating the positions that we're comfortable debating, that we know that our people want to see debated and want to see spoken about. We spend so much time arguing about issues that even if we do win the argument on those issues, we have still acknowledged those arguments and the enemy has still made at least a partial victory. Because the partial victory that they've won is the fact that we have acknowledged that racism is the big problem. Racism is the big issue. Well, it's not, is it? Racism isn't the big issue. White genocide is the big issue. The big issue is mass migration. The big issue is all of the problems that are downstream from immigration and demographics. But once you're not talking about that, and you're talking about the ills of racism, you're actually only building momentum for your enemy, for the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. And, I recall one gentleman who was, when we're talking about Biden and, Biden, wow, he was so racist back then. He didn't want his kids to go to school with blacks. And then something about crime, we're not against black crime. We're just as much against white crime. And it's like, yeah, but whites don't commit that much crime. If you're going to say, well, we're just against all crime, you have to add the caveat. But of course, blacks commit the bulk of the crime. Don't just brush that aside and pretend it's not the case. People are just, and the thing is, the people who make, the proper analyses, the people who come up with the proper narratives are the people who get, and especially if you're talking about the fundamental issue of, the Jewish power and, the Jews are behind one way or another, whatever issue you're talking about, whether you're talking about black crime, whether you're talking about mass immigration, whether you're talking about the war in Ukraine, when you get down to the bottom of it, you find Jews are the main driving force. But we are selectively removed from the debate, and so our narratives, our ideas, our explanations for things never reach people's ears. And so what does reach people's ears? What reaches people's ears are the uncensored explanations, whether, it's like Alex Jones type of stuff, whether it's normie conservative type of stuff, that Democrats are the real racists, or that the Chinese communists are the problem, that, it's some conspiracy for some plan. There's some shadowy people who are implementing their plan. It's everything but the truth, everything but what would make sense for us to argue on. And that's all people hear. And, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. That's my observation.
No, I agree. I mean, and another thing that you said, which is really important, is not only are we sort of stymied by the fact that we fall into this ridiculous argument about who's the biggest racist, and then we're arguing about racism as if it's the largest issue the world has ever known, and because it's the largest issue the world has ever known, maybe there's something in what the Democrats say, and you're arguing on their terms, and because you're arguing on their terms, they're getting some kind of win out of this. That is definitely something that has to be said. But also, the other voice that comes out is this desperation not to be called racist, this absolute desperation that our people have to not be called racist. So what ends up happening is you end up with people like Alex Jones or other people who are, let's call them in some way, conspiracy theorists. So when I say conspiracy theorists, what I mean by that is, it is obviously quite clear that these people do believe they are conspiracy theorists. I don't really have anything else to say. They are conspiracy theorists. They believe in things that are, outlandish to say the least. But you then find these conspiracy theorists invent further conspiracies to stop themselves being called racist. So there's a conspiracy theory now in the UK that people coming here, the people being brought into the UK as migrants on these migrant boats, and we're seeing these people pour in now. We're seeing an absolute record number of people pouring in to the UK. I think it was over 1,000 came in illegally just yesterday that we know about, that we picked up, and the government have admitted in the last 12 months that they granted a million visas. So you thinking there are a million people? Well, it's not a million people. A million visas could be easily 2.5 million people, because one visa application is for one working one working individual, their partner and their family. So a family visa may have been granted that allows seven people in. So we're seeing this massive flood of people coming in. And these migrants who come in illegally are being taken in. They're being put in hotels. They're being fed. They're watered. Huge, huge amounts of money are being given to them in terms of, you know, housing them, keeping them, etc. So you're thinking to yourself, well, what's happening here then? What is it? Well, it's white genocide. We know what it is. It's basically people flooding in at an unprecedented rate. And those people are unfortunately, you know, being brought here to replace us. You know that. I know that. So what do these conspiracy theorists say? Well, the latest conspiracy theory is they're not coming here to replace us. They're part of a secret UN army that we don't know about. And they're being put up in these hotels before they're given their guns, and they are then used by the UN to control us all and to put us into the next lockdown or whatever the UN's planning. Now, this isn't a joke. This is actually what these people are saying. And the reason they're saying this is because more and more people are getting upset about mass immigration. More and more people are becoming vocal about these channel crossings, about the number of illegal immigrants coming in, about the fact that, you know, this is a swamping mass of people just entering the country on a daily basis and causing huge numbers of social problems. So the conspiracy theorists have to talk about this, but they can't say, hey, you know, Mark Collett, Patrick Slattery, David Duke, they were all right. This is white genocide. What they have to say is, you know what? This is some mad scheme by, you know, the UN to bring in a trained, and obviously because most of these people who come over in the boats are young men of fighting age. And then once they get here, they set up home, they win asylum, and then they send for their family who come via chain migration. You know, this is a very easily explained phenomenon. This isn't something that's kind of like really off the wall that no one would be able to fathom. This is something that, you know, we've spoken about many times. It's the same as what happens in America. You see vast numbers of people crossing the southern border, and then when they get here, you know as well as I do, chain migration does the rest. It's pretty simple. But these conspiracy theorists can't admit this, because if they admit it, they have to admit people like myself, you, Dr. David Duke and others were all actually 100% correct, right on the money. We've always been right on the money. And there is a concerted effort going on to replace people of European descent the world over. But you can't say that, can you? So there has to be something, some explanation that doesn't include race or ethnicity, because that means the people saying it can escape being called racist. And do you know what I think these people are? I think they're absolute reprehensible cowards and losers. I think they're cowards, I think they're losers, and I think they should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. They sicken me. They absolutely sickened me, because we're at this late stage in this, you know, in this conflict of sorts, in this in the replacement of our people. And despite being in this late stage, they are more worried, or these conspiracy theorists are more worried about not being called racist than they are about solving the problem itself, which more or less says everything you need to know about these people. And unfortunately, we're not going to get out of this mess by either appealing to the we're not racist crowd, and we're certainly not going to get out of the mess by lying about it and trying to pretend that the problems we're facing aren't motivated by, you know, a serious hatred of people of European descent. You know they're hated. You know that the policies are motivated by a hatred of people of European descent. I know that these policies are motivated by a hatred of people of European descent. But these, you know, conspiracy theorists may want everyone else to say, oh, no, but they're not racist. And that's one of the problems. The term racist has become so powerful within our society that even people who call themselves truthers would rather invent a ridiculous lie than be caught speaking a truth that might see them branded racist.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard that one about the migrant. Well, it doesn't have as much currency in the United States right now that the migrants are secret UN soldiers, but what is the most common explanation, what you get from Fox News, is that they are, that the Democratic Party is importing voters. This is all about just importing voters. And of course, the Democratic parties in the United States aren't important organizations, and nobody who really matters cares whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats who win, because both sides will do what is necessary. I mean, in general. And
it's Slash or Twitch, he had his beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Blackadder, his taste is rather odd.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Really matters cares whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats who win, because both sides will do what is necessary. I mean, in general. And we just saw an election get faked, and illegal immigrants had virtually nothing to do with the faked election from 2020. So it's, and then the other thing that you hear is, well, we've got Our elites want to keep us divided by race instead of being united against, you know, our, the oligarchy that rules us. Well, okay. There's two problems with that. One is there really are problems. I mean, there are problems with mass immigration. It's not just that we're being divided and when we should be united. Well, actually, you know, these people shouldn't be coming here. And there is a problem with black crime and black hostility. And it's not just that you know, we're not being able to unite with them. No, there's actually a problem there. That's one half of it. But the other half is that when these people say that an elite or an oligarchy is trying to keep us separated, they're not even identifying who the oligarchy is. You know, so to talk about an elite, but never identify who that elite is, that doesn't help anything. And the elite is dominated by Jews who have an ethnic agenda. And you can look at that ethnic agenda. The mass immigration, it's not there just for cheap labor. It is there as white replacement. It is because the Jews have this paranoid, and frankly, it's a delusion, but that at any point, just like Adolf Hitler, they're going to get holocausted for absolutely no reason. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to have any hostility except for pure hatred for the length of the nose. That they're going to be genocided at any moment, so they cannot permit a cohesive ethnic majority in any European state. And that's, no, and they won't say that. So anyway, we're running out of time.
I was just going to agree with you. That was perfectly said. And it's amazing, isn't it, that people go in these sort of truther circles, people go to such ridiculous lengths to try and prove all manner of things, that the moon is hollow, that, you know, the queen is a shape-shifting reptilian, you know, all of this nonsense. But when it comes to accepting that a small group of people in the Middle East who have their own ethno-state but control, you know, the majority of the world's media and have very, very insular, you know, very, very insular, they're a very, very insular group that have their own needs, their own wants, etc., etc. If you suggest that they would have any motivation or ability to do things within Western society that furthers their end, but at the same time reduces our quality of life, these people are like, you're completely mad. But the same people saying that we're completely mad are the ones that claim, you know, the moon is a hollow broadcasting station for Satan or some other such nonsense.
Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me, Mark. We'll work on these problems. We'll get it worked out one of these days. But thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It was a good show, and I look forward to being with you again next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me, perhaps, 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 perhaps.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.